I just remember the time that when we started the ministry of Adol in South Africa, and we started in our home, and it grew a little bit, and we had to find another venue, and we had another find another venue, and eventually we got to where we are today. And just walking in here this morning just reminded me of those times that we were establishing, pioneering. And you know what? I don't think there is ever a time that we should stop pioneering, you know, because the next hall needs to be sometime become too small again or not adequate and move to another pioneering level. So never stop pioneering. Okay. And sometimes I also think that sometimes we're trying to get too smart and too fancy with all the stuff that we have to have these days as to make a church acceptable. Man, the church under the tree is as good, isn't it? It's a bit cold yeah, though, for that, but so I can imagine why you want to be inside. But it was lovely to be with you. Derek is my name, and Beryl, my wife, yeah. We've got two children and 5 grandchildren, and my son was living in Maidstone. He was pastoring a church there for, I don't know, 16, 17 years, 18 years or something like that. But he's back in South Africa now. And so for us to be here and is really just a lovely pleasure. And I was here, was it last year?
Yeah, about a year ago.
It was lovely. We were somewhere else.
Yeah,
okay. But this I actually like this building. I mean, this is really actually this wooden place is like the old days of Moses. I'm sure they had tents and stuff like this, but I think a lot of the stuff was in wood like this, and maybe really more fancy wood carvings and things they did those days. If you look at the buildings they did thousands of years ago and what they do today, you've got plain buildings there. They had architecture, you know. So, but it's lovely. I love the solidness in this place. It's really lovely. Thank you. It's lovely to be with you. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about LL Ministries. There's a couple of centers there where, this is where, in England, where LL started, really. And they minister to broken people, but they also teach the church how to bring healing, because and I'm not been trying to be arrogant about teaching the church in a sense, because God has been directing LL ministries into this area of healing over the last 30 years now, and so they have huge amounts of wisdom and knowledge and got a heart for God and bringing healing into people's lives and discipleship and. And so, where much of the church has really become a preaching thing, and they do some outreaches, but actually the area of healing has been neglected somewhat. And God has been teaching us over the years, and we just want to pass that knowledge on to the church, because we would like to see the healing ministry of Jesus come back again, and we are seeing the miracles take place, so we have a ministry in South Africa. Will and I were pastors before that, but this is really our heart, is to see healing come into people's lives. And so we resigned from that, and we joined LL in 2000, come and spent 2 years here and did the courses here at Pierpont, just down the road here, where we are at the moment, just for this week. And also to take it back to South Africa, little known what God was going to do with us, because what we realized is that because when we got saved, we came into the body, we grew, lots of things happened and changed, but you know you still struggle with some of the stuff that happened before you got saved. And so when we got to LL here, we sat down to some of the teachings, we started to realize, oh my goodness, you know, I've never been healed of that. Or I've been prayed for that, but I've actually never been delivered from it. And so I had to be delivered from, I mean, Beryl didn't have to have deliverance, but more me. But I had to have deliverance from a whole bunch of stuff. And only after I had deliverance that I realized that I didn't struggle anymore. It just was just so different. So that has really been a thing in my heart, is to know the things that cause hurt and pain, and then also how to bring healing into people's lives. I must just set my little clock here, otherwise I'm going to run much over time. So that is what we are. It's just sort of called to do, and we it's what it's just a privilege to be part of Shofar. You guys have been through a bit of a rough time, and for us to be part of that and to be invited to be part of that is a huge, huge privilege for us. So, and we don't take things lightly. So we just say thank God for that. It's lovely to be here with you. And shall we pray? Father, we just say thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We pray your Holy Spirit will be with us, Lord, as we speak about this subject, Lord, of our spirit, soul, and body. Father, that you would help us to get understanding of the things that that can damage us. And Father, we pray, Lord, that as we pray for healing a little bit later on, Father, that you would just give us an openness to receive your hand upon our lives and your healing power. Be with us now, Lord. We ask your grace upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. I've done this teaching once before at Shofar, and I don't think it was here last time. But and what we do is we've been going around the different Shofar churches, and we've been doing very much the same type of teaching, just to get everybody on the same page as to where we're going. Now, the difference between LL Ministries and Shofar, or a church really, is that in LL Ministries, or in a church really, you speak a different message every Sunday to the same people. We again teach the same message to different people. So we go into the place and we say we've got to get the foundations in to different people. So this is one of the foundational teachings that we would go around and teaching, just to bring this area of our life in the getting understanding. You know that once you get understanding, it also brings healing. Understanding can bring healing, and of this understanding, so, oh, is that what is happening? That's why. And you can stop doing things. You can make decisions to stop doing things just because you have understanding. And so what we want to do is just bring understanding. And David, as he was praying outside here this morning, he was praying about spirit, soul, and body. I said, oh, well, okay, maybe that's a confirmation that I'm going to be talking about this. But I want to talk a little bit more about spirit, soul, and body than just spirit, soul, and body. And I'm going to pick that up a bit later. But I'd like to just lay this foundation about really where we are as a church, and where we are as individuals within the body of Christ, and the role that we can play, and the role that we can play out in the workplace, because that is actually the place that the church should be. And you who go into the workplace, you are the ones that are really touching the world, not the pastors so much. The pastors are the shepherds of your souls, but you are the ones that are actually going out there and touching people and living life amongst the world. Where the pastors are, I'm afraid, we not that we don't want to do it, it's just because we're trying to organize the sheep and keep the sheep in a good place so they can be a good place to be out there in the world. And so if you look at the world, and as you go around the world, you will find that in the world there's a lot of sickness, there's a lot of disease, there's lots of issues that are happening, there's a lot of things happening in people's lives which is not good, and they don't look at God as you see God. If you come into the church, you'll see that the same sicknesses and the same diseases and the same issues in life are happening within the church, and so we have to then say that the church, the things that are happening in the world is happening in the church as well. And we in the church need healing so that we can be more of a witness to what's happening outside there. We know the scripture that says that we need to renew our minds from what the world has been, how they see things, how they do things, and how they think about things. And we can bring a different perspective to the world just because we are looking at it from God's way and not the world's way or from a humanistic way. And so we need healing in many parts of our lives. So the struggles that we have within the church is sometimes not very different from what's happening in the world, although we must say that we all live in this fallen world. But we who are born again by the Spirit of God live or not. We're in this world, but not of it. So we on a little province of our own, in a sense, right in the world. So we that come out of a church situation and know God, and we're just taking a different message. We're taking a different us, a different person, really, into a place where they need to look at us and say, is that what a Christian's all about? And so often the world has the right almost to judge a Christian's, and they would say sometimes, is that what Christians do? You know, is that what you call Christianity? You've done all these, and you go swearing around with the guy and 13 dirty jokes, and is that what Christianity is all about? No, Christianity is quite different, isn't it? And so we look at the fallen world. We say, what did it fall from? If sicknesses and these came into the world at the fall, what was it like before the fall? What was God's intention before Adam was and Eve was disobedient? So, on this earth, before Adam and Eve fell, there was wholeness. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no thinking bad thoughts, because what was a bad thought? Adam and Eve and family walked around naked. They didn't have to have this, close my eyes and stuff like that, you know, because it was all natural. And it's only because when Adam and Eve fell, when God gave them a choice, and this is very important, that with that tree in the middle of the garden, he said, do not eat of that tree, because if you eat of the fruit of that tree, then things, your eyes were open and you would see things that you were not supposed to see. But eventually, as we know, Satan came along and he tempted Eve first, and eventually she had a bite. Her husband was there. He didn't say anything. Eve, don't do it. God said, don't do it. God was also there. And he didn't say anything, because he said to them, don't eat of that tree. But at that point, I'm giving you a choice. So we all have free will choice. Don't eat of it, because if you eat of that, then a lot of things in your life will happen. And so when they did, actually, when Adam really took a bite of that apple, then God had to move away, because mankind then came under the umbrella, in a sense, of Satan. And he became the father. He's the father of lies anyway. He became the father, and God was there, but he actually had to stand back, because we made a choice. And the choice was to follow somebody else. Now, when we're looking at that, we then discover that the choices that we make, and things go wrong, if the choices we make that are not of God and it goes wrong, then we want to blame God sometimes for that. Or we want to blame Satan for that. And yeah, we can blame Satan, but actually we can also have a be in that place where we say, I didn't have to do that. And so we can become damaged by the choices and of the will, that the will choices that we make. And so God, when God created us, he created us in that place where he made us part of the earth, because he came down and he took from the earth and he created a body. And in this body, on this body, he put a computer on this little shelf here called the shoulders. He put it on there and sort of a little swivel neck that you can sit and look everywhere, like just like a computer, this little thing here. So, so in this place, he put what we call a soul. The soul is our mind, the will, and the emotions. But we were still dead, like the computer, until God came and he breathed in us. And when he breathed in us, that puff, he gave us what? A human spirit. So when we read the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul gives us an idea of what he had learned from Jesus and told us then how we are created. Okay, let's read it. And it says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. So we are created spirit, soul, and body. Now, we can be sick in the body. We know that. And so we can, and sometimes the body becomes self-healing. If we cut ourselves and it doesn't really need stitches or anything like that, or even if it does need stitches, we just go to the doctor, they put the pieces of flesh together with some cotton. But actually a lot of the body is self-healing. After a couple of weeks, you wouldn't even know it was there. You may see a little scar. Oh, remember that. But even sometimes the scars disappear. So we can be healed and we can be damaged in our body, and sometimes the damage can become a lot more, like become cancerous, or there's lots of things that can go wrong within the body. And in the soul area, this is the part that our mind, the will, and the emotions are. This is where we have our thinking. This is all our feelings come out of that, and although it's up in the soul area, but it's also down here, because when you have a major feeling, it's like, yeah, or your happiness comes from within. So your soul area is a very important part of who we are. But the spirit part is the part of us that connects with God. This is the part that hears God and touches God. It's not through the mind. It's through the spirit. And that spirit, a lot of people say that when we are born again, your spirit cannot be damaged in any way. But actually, Paul doesn't say that. Paul says that we need to keep our spirit, soul, and body blameless. So he's not saying it, but he's implying that our spirit can actually be damaged. So, when we are born again, what actually happens to our human spirit? Our human spirit is made alive to Christ. But we can still be damaged. It's made alive to Christ. And so, when we do sin, it's like we've been obedient to the enemy, because when sin is putting ourselves under the banner of Satan. So when we do sin, God is there and he's watching, and he doesn't want us to sin, and yet we do it. He doesn't withdraw. It's us that withdraw from him, really. So if this is God, then we sin, we actually have to withdraw, because God doesn't want sin close to him. He loves us and he accepts us and all that, yes. But God actually wants us to to be holy because He is holy. And the more we get rid of the stuff through forgiveness and saying, confessing and stuff, the more we get rid of it, the closer we can come to the Lord. And He's drawing us and He's calling us all the time. So it may be right to say then that we all need healing. We all need God's touch. We all want His blessing. But He cannot bless us if we're doing the wrong stuff. If we're deciding all the time to make those decisions that we are doing the wrong things. And because He says, just be holy. I want you to be like me. Because we are created in His likeness and His image. So we are. That's what He wants us to be. Do we ever get to that place? Oh, I'm not quite sure. Because we still have that sinful nature that we are living with. But we're saying, Lord, I rather want to be obedient to You than be obedient to the enemy. And so when we have given the enemy a foothold, then we sometimes need some ministry, and because we cannot do it ourselves sometimes, and because the scripture also says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. In other words, when it's out there, the enemy has no more rights or hold, because you've confessed it. And that is one of the things that God's giving us, is to confess our sins so that we may be healed. So that we can walk this road of healing. It's a journey. Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately, because the enemy comes the next day or the next week and he tests us again, and he comes again until he gets tired of it, and then we get strong in that part of our lives. I want to say that the spirit of man is probably the most important part in when we're ministering to people, that we're ministering to their spirit as well. Because that is the part that gets that emotional damages into our spirit as well. Have you ever heard somebody say that person's got a broken spirit, or sometimes a cowering dog? They will say his spirit is broken, or when they trying to. Tame a wild horse. It's like they're going to break the spirit of the horse to get into that place that you can get on its back and doesn't throw you off. And that's possibly something that we can just have an analogy and looking that sometimes our spirit is broken. Sometimes when we get abused, when it comes to sexual abuse, we get damaged in all three of those areas. Our bodies can be hurt. Our emotions are hurt, and our spirit certainly, because in any sexual act, all three parts of us are involved. And when it's outside of God's will, then our spirit is definitely going to be damaged. But we can also be damaged in our spirit by somebody, and maybe a parent or a teacher or. Who we look up to, and that can come and damage your spirit just by that continuous picking on you and breaking you down and telling you you're no good. Eventually, it's wearing down our body as well, but it's more inside where our spirit can really get damaged. And so, at the fall, that part of us, that spirit part of us, was separated from God until such time we came, and Jesus came and He helped us to get. He came to rescue us. He came to restore us. And He came to restore us not just to come into the kingdom of God in the sense of being born again, but also to restore us in our body and our soul and our spirit. And we go and read in Genesis chapter 4 where that spiritual connection became manifest after the fall. And in Genesis chapter 4, it speaks about where Cain killed Abel. That's when it became manifest on the earth. And also, a little bit later, in Genesis chapter 11, we saw the outworking of a broken spiritual connection with God in the body. And verse 11 of Genesis 11, it says, "Now Sarah was barren, and she had no children." So the outworking of what God said, go and multiply, was all here. It started to have a manifestation. So it doesn't always say that okay, if I've done something wrong now, from this moment on, everything's broken. Sometimes it happens 2, 3, 4 weeks later. Sometimes we don't even relate any longer to what's happening to me here to what happened a couple of weeks ago or months ago. But there is a manifestation of this brokenness. And so why do we actually need healing? Well, we need healing to restore God's order in our lives. He created us to be whole, but because we live in this fallen world, we quickly get into the way of the world, and He wants to make us whole. He wants to make us healthy. He wants to bring us back into good condition, to replace any turmoil and confusion with peace. He wants to deal with the blockages that were there, and sometimes not you didn't bring the blockage, somebody comes from somebody else, like for a generational thing. It could be something then in your generational line that came down, and all of a sudden you see yourself doing the same thing your father did, or I see myself doing the same thing my mother did, and I can see in my particular life, I had to be healed in that area of my life. That the things my father did, I never knew my grandfather, but I can imagine my grandfather also doing it, and my great grandfather doing it, and that's why it says in Exodus 20, it says that the sins of the fathers will be handed down to the children, to the third and fourth generation, and it's a result of all these things that has taken place. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a human being." So it is actually from the ground, as I spoke about earlier, that we've come. And it's back to the ground we will go. And in this area of life, this is the area where the enemy is trying to pull us away from God. And if he can get hold, if he can get to the place where he damages your spirit, then it is much more difficult to get back again to be God. Now I can go on for quite a bit about the whole spiritual body, but I want to just touch on a different thing here now. I would like to just have a little demonstration about our spirit. For instance, is this ball useful? Okay, it's useful because if you you can do a lot with this ball. Now, this is like our spirit. When our spirit is full and whole, this is what we like. But if, for instance, if, for instance, our spirit gets damaged, okay, let some of the air out. You've done a good job in blowing this one up. Okay, so, thank you. That's okay. Okay. Now, this is when we deflated. Now, is a ball useful? Yeah, I suppose to a point. But actually, oh, sorry. So I do that wrong. It is actually because of the deflation of the brokenness inside. This is what we like. We there's no more of that balance. There's no more full of God. It's no more, you know, the excitement of life is just taken out, because downstairs here we are really just broken, not only in our emotions, but also in our spirit. Now, if you look at a person, if you're walking down the street and you look at a person's face, generally what's happening on that person's face is happening downstairs here. You can see in a person what's happening. Because in your emotions, your face reflects what's happening. Yeah. In Italy, we saw that, you know, the husbands die, and the ladies wear black, and so many of the old ladies, they walk in like this, that spirit of heaviness, which I've never dealt with at the death of a loved one, that spirit of heaviness eventually brings heaviness on the body, and you can see in the body the way that they are working is because of what is happening inside. And Jesus prayed for a person like that as well, you know, that had been bent over. Now, I don't say that was particularly because of a death of a loved one, but she was bent over. But in actual fact, he then gave the analogy that when you bring healing to somebody, he gave the analogy of a donkey on a, because he was healing on a Sunday, and he said, Don't you take your donkey and untie it so they can get refreshment? And so he had to untie her first. In other words, he had to get it delivered. He said, your spirit has been healed or whatever. And then he laid his hands on her, and then she was healed. So that's not, I'm not telling you a method. I'm just telling you that there was a process for her to get healed. And sometimes we need that process. Now, we need healing in our spirit and our soul and sometimes in our body. But I would like to, the message I would like to bring to you this morning is, if our spirit is that part of us that touches God or communicates with God, it is not our mind, our will or our emotion, it's the spirit. So, when we want to worship God, we decide in our spirit, worship God. The spirit says, soul, worship God. The soul tells the body, and the body is the manifestation of worshiping God by lifting your hands. You understand that? So when God speaks, when we get a word of a prophecy, it doesn't come to the mind. It's your spirit that's connecting, because he says we will worship in spirit and in truth. It's our spirit that's connecting with God. So God speaks to our spirit, and it goes through the process of the mind and then the body, and it speaks out or whatever it might be. If we are in that place where we go to school and we go to university and we are repeatedly told, use your head. In other words, use your mind. They will never say, use your spirit. So when we grow up, it is always, use your mind, use your head. And so we leave out that part of the spirit. It's very difficult sometimes to get our spirit to come and say, let's worship the Lord. To understand that it's our spirit that is actually leading. And that's the thing I want to speak about. Who's leading? Who is leading us as a church? Is it our mind? Is it our emotions? Is it our feel good? Is it our intellect? Because, you know, you can have an intimate knowledge of the Word of God, an intimate knowledge, and not know God. or even be close to Him. You can have, you can be a worship leader of note and not know God. You know, I'm just talking about the worship leader of note. We think that in this, that Lucifer was a worship leader. We think he led the angels. But when he had a wrong thought of why don't I get that worship? A third of the angels said, "Yeah, why don't you get it? Why don't we worship you rather? Why must God get all the worship?" So the worship leader or the pastor that's standing up over here, whoever's doing the teaching like myself right now, is my life right with you, with God? Is the worship leader is right with God? Why am I mentioning this? Because when we open ourselves to hear the message or open ourselves or worship, what are we receiving? Because we are expecting that the worship leader leads us into the presence of God. And if the worship leader or the pastor up here is in sin, what are we receiving? I give the example. You all know what mumps and measles are, the sickness. If I've got measles, but I'm preaching about the mumps, what are you going to catch? Measles. Why? Why is that? Because you take who I am, not what I say. Do you understand that? So the worship leader's got to be in a place, and the pastor's got to be in that place with God, that when we open ourselves to receive the Spirit, we sometimes and most often receive an ungodly spirit because we're receiving who the person is. So a lot of confusion can take place in the body when this happens. Now, talking about the Spirit, we would like to just demonstrate. Can I have three guys? Three guys. Let's have three guys. There we go. One, two. Come on, boy. Yeah. Okay. Who's the tallest? Okay. Okay, yeah, you just get in the middle of the two there. That's fine. Okay, so I'm just putting into the order like this so it's easier for me to recognize who's who in the zoo eventually. Say this is one man, one person. This is the body, this is the soul, and this is the spirit. Is that okay? So, if you would just go to the other side of this one, write this one, spirit, soul, and body. All right. He has the spirit, the soul, and the body. You are one. Okay, just link arms. Yeah, okay. Okay. So now, when this is a very cold country, and if your air conditioner is not working, and you're under the duvet, and it's Sunday morning, and it's church time at 10 o'clock, and it's still freezing outside, and the alarm clock is set for half past 8 in the morning, and the alarm goes off, and the body is curled up in bed. And the alarm goes off. It's time to go and worship the Lord. What does the body want to do? But it's going brrr. What does the spirit want to do?
Go to church.
Yeah, that's it. The spirit wants to go to church. What's the soul thinking? Oh, no. Yeah, breakfast. And the body said, breakfast in bed. So the Bible tells us that there's a tussle between what's happening here and what's happening there, because these two are mates. This one is saying, God is speaking. Come on, spirit, let's go. The spirit says to the soul, come on, it's up time. And and he's saying to the body, no, I am so happy inside here. I'm not going anywhere. And so we had this confusion, this fight. I must get up now. Yes, I must get up. No, I mustn't get up. No, no. And so what's happening inside? It's this turmoil that's taking place. And Paul says, I don't do the things I should be doing, and I don't do the things I should not be doing. I don't know all the stuff, you know. He has a real fight. And this is the fight. There's a conflict. That's what happens. So who are you listening to that morning? Are you listening to your spirit? Or are you listening to your feel good? Or are you listening to, man, let's forget about it. Listen, spirit, you must be pulling my ear. Yes, right? Okay, you get what I mean? Who are you listening to? Okay, young man. No. Hold on. Yeah. Let's get a young lady here. Could you get a young lady? Can I have a volunteer, please? Young lady. Okay. Young lady, you're a modeling type, are you? Okay, you're a young lady. Okay. No, let's go back the entire again. Okay, just hang on. Hold it. Now, you're really... Yeah, no, just I wanted to use the word sexy, but not to use that word. But you know what I mean. So, the Spirit sees what's happening here. And he says, body, soul, behave yourself. Look at this as a creature that God has made. Focus. Focus. The soul, the thoughts are going, and the body is getting, you know. The spirit is saying, no. Okay, come along. So how does the body react? Slowly. Okay, how's the spirit reacting? No, just take away. Okay. Put him away. As long as I'm asking the body, what must I do? Okay, thank you. You see, you are the one that's listening to God. So you must pull them away, because the soul, he's saying, those thoughts, and the enemy is putting those things in your head. And he said, wow, and the body is getting all aroused here. And the spirit is saying, no. You see, but where does the decision come from? Because actually, this is the right road. Just let go there. This is the right road. Spirit. Soul. Just behind him. And behind him. This is the right role that we should be in. The spirit should be walking in front. But actually what is happening, sometimes the spirit is behind. And this is how we go to school. Just the head. We've got to have this head knowledge. The head knowledge. And then the head knowledge is saying, ah, I'm in this body of mine. I've got to get it pumped up and doing weights and weights. Because I want people to look at my body. And so I get short sleeve shirts, you know, that can show my muscle, you know. But actually, the spirit is saying, it's not about the body or the soul. It's actually, this is the part that's going to get saved. This is the part that we need to keep holy. But if the other two are not allowing it to happen, so the decision has got to come from the spirit. Sometimes the spirit's in the middle here. And sometimes the body is at the back. Oh, the spirit. Yeah, the body's in the front. Sometimes we operate this way. So when that girlie comes walking down the street, you know, what's happening? Who's leading? Who's leading your life? When Hercules said, I heard him say a little bit earlier, that we want to have an expression outside the church. You know, this is the way, this is the time that the body and the soul gets thinking, oh my goodness, am I going to knock on doors? Oh, I'm going to walk down the street. Oh, am I going to speak to the people? And the fear that comes in here because of perhaps the unknown is something that God doesn't want. He wants us to get rid of the fear. Because he wants us to evangelize. And if we want to evangelize, then who is leading? The Spirit has got to be leading us. Correct. Mm-hmm. So, how do we go into developing, and how do we go into growing this ministry of shofar in Wimbledon there and London and across the world? It can only be done when the Spirit is leading us to what God is saying. Because if God is saying to them, and our spirit is weak. You know, when John was born, it says in the scripture that when he was born, as he was growing up, and his spirit was becoming strong. And it also said something like of Jesus that he was maturing. He didn't say the spirit was becoming strong, but it implies that he was getting stronger in who he was. And that's because the Spirit was in front. He was putting God first before any other needs of the mind or the body. I want to encourage you that to be aware, to bring understanding, and look at your life, that when you have to make a decision, what decision are you making? Is it a decision of a soulish decision? Is it a fleshly decision? Or is it a decision from spirit to spirit? And so when we're reading the scriptures, we open up our scriptures and say, Lord, speak into my spirit. We don't speak into my head. We often say, oh, the scripture dropped into my head. It doesn't work that way. Actually, the scripture's dropped in here and it goes to the head. And then we speak it out. But actually, to take any ministry forward in a great way, I love pioneering. You can ask my wife, I love it. And pioneering is something, but I tell you, if you're pioneering on your own, without God, it's a struggle. You might grow a little bit, but actually, when you put your spirit first and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, what plan have you got for us for next Sunday? Lord, what plan have you got for us, for me when I go into the workplace or into the, wherever you are? Yeah, there's a nursery here as well. When you go into the hospital, Lord, what plan have you got for me? For your spirit. To tell the soul, to tell the body, to go lay hands on that person in the bed and not even pray. Just put your hand there and pray in tongues under your breath. Miracles can happen. So, who is leading? Thank you. Thanks, guys. But that tussle that you saw between them, I didn't ask them to do it. It just became a natural thing. Because, especially guys, want to tussle. And that's why we've got so many women in the church today, because the guys are tussling at home, you see, in that. And the women are much more open to the Spirit than men, generally. And I just want to say thank you guys for being here. You're amazing. But it's the men. Jesus said, when you go into a town, look for the man of peace. Why did he say the man of peace, not the woman of peace? Because the women of peace are really, they're open. They would listen. It's the men. If you get the woman, you don't get the husband, you don't get the family. If you get the man, you get the whole family. Get the woman, you only get the woman. Get the man, go for the men. Aim for them. I mean, don't neglect the women, but really, ask God for the men. And maybe there are just some people that need just a touch. And a prayer for, say, Lord, give me wisdom on how to bring us into operation. How do I live my life putting my spirit first? I'd like to, one of the things I'd like to tell you is just to spend time with God. Okay? Even if it's just be quiet. Be still. The scripture goes on to say, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes it's very difficult to be still and not fall asleep, you know. But actually, when you come into those places of being still, and you you don't open your, have your Bible there, but leave it there. Just be still before God. And like that manifestation may take another day or two or a week, but the manifestation of just that being still, you will see God move. Because His Word says so. And so, to get closer to God is to say, Lord, what are you saying? Try and hear. And maybe difficult at first, but as you practice it. Bill and I, we're trying to pick up on this for the last couple of years, and we more and more sensing that God is leading us because we are asking Him to lead us. But we cannot ask Him to lead us or do things for us if we just sit and just be quiet. We actually have to get up. The message I actually wanted to bring today, actually, was, the title was, if you want to walk on the water, you must get out the boat. But this is really what this can apply here, is if you want God to do something for you, then we actually need to get out the boat. We cannot do the miraculous stuff that Peter did. If he didn't hear Jesus say, when he said, Lord, tell me to come to you. And he said, come. And he got out the boat. And he started walking on this water towards Jesus. And then he saw the storm. And fear came in. The moment something ungodly came in, he sank. Jesus had to grab him. He said, oh, you man of little faith. So the thought life can damage what God actually wants for you. If you allow it, the Spirit has to rise up and say, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Get behind me and go and for the calling that God's got for you and me. One of the things we said is we looked at the scriptures and we said, you know, the way that Jesus operated, Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see my Father doing. I don't say anything I don't hear my Father saying. It was that relationship that he knew that when something came along, he knew in his spirit, I can do that. Because he saw his Father doing it. Another scripture we also used, and it's got to do with timing. And in the desert, Moses was there, and they were being led out of the desert, and you know he said, if the cloud moves, you move. The cloud stays still, you stand still. Oh, I'm getting bored. That's the time the enemy comes in. You wait until God's timing is right. Move by the pillar of fire at night and the cloud in the daytime. Wait for the right sign that God said, now go. You will know it inside because God will be speaking to your spirit inside. The prophetic needs to come from within inside, in the spirit. And not, oh, I need to give a word here. Wait. We need to come to church with that in our spirit already. You know, bring a word, bring a song, bring a prophecy. We need to come prepared for what God wants to do. Maybe He doesn't use it this Sunday. Maybe He'll say, wait. And often we make the mistake is that when God says, this is what I want you to do, we go out and tell everybody what God wants me to do instead of waiting for the timing. Lord, when do you want me to do this? When do you want me? And because then we can speak it out and we speak it out too soon and we have thrown our pearls before swine and it doesn't become effective anymore because the enemy comes and he grabs it. Wait. So we're going to be wise in these things. We're going to wait. The right word, the right time. God will work in you. Yes, please.
I was just sitting here now, and I just felt the Lord just said I must just share this testimony. It was about 2 years ago. We had a prayer time with our team. And when we have a prayer time, we don't have a grocery list or a list to tick off to pray for things or finances or whatever. We just pray and we ask God what is on his heart. And we spent the whole morning just waiting on him, and then we came together and we shared what he had said. And the Lord gave me a very strange word. He said to me that, will you take care of my broken missionaries that are serving me all over the world? And I didn't know what that meant, because we have missionaries popping into our center in South Africa, and we pray for them. But I didn't know what he meant by that. And I said, and I was sort of a bit confused, because we had a whole program sorted and we were very busy that year. But I just felt in my spirit this was from God. And I said to him, yes, Lord. And he said, I will confirm it. And when the others started sharing in the group what they'd heard from God, there were about 4 or 5 people who had a confirmation of this word without me telling them anything. And then right at the end, I shared the word, and they all got so excited about it. And we started to pray about it. And then I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do with this word, and for when is it? And he said, I don't want you to do anything. I will show you next year what I mean. And I laid it down, and we prayed about it. We were all on the same page. We went on holiday. We came back from leave. And my phone rang in my office, and the first person who phoned me was a big church in Pretoria who said, I've got a very broken missionary. Would you take care of her? And I just felt in my spirit that was God talking, and he was saying, I want you to take care of her. And she came, and we took her in, and we ministered to her for a whole week, and there was real breakthrough in her life. And from then on, the ministry has just received missionaries from all over the world. And we've just had a 10-day healing retreat, 14 missionaries from Yemen, from Libya, from everywhere in the world have come. And we've ministered to them. And I don't know why I feel so emotional just sharing this, but it was such a God thing. And really, can I tell you that we didn't know what to do with them? We know how to pray for people. But we had to start learning on how to debrief, how to do all the stuff that they need in the different countries, because some of them have been brutally tortured and hurt and damaged. But we're learning. We're not there yet, but we're willing. But you see, God brought the people in his timing. He taught us in his timing. And it's actually his work. It's not our work, but it's such a privilege. Because they can now go out and be a blessing in the nations where we can't be. So I just want to encourage you about this word Derek brought. It's a vital word. Because when we are led by the Spirit of God and he speaks and you know it, because you've got that intimate relationship with him, it's a privilege, it's an excitement. Because then you can't wait to see how he's going to actually perform the word that he gave.
Thank you. Romans 8:14, it says that those who are led by the Spirit of God will be called sons of God. It's quite powerful. A couple of other scriptures here. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Now, the Spirit here in this particular in Galatians 5:16-17, the Spirit here is sort of the capital S, so it's speaking by the Holy Spirit or God's Spirit, which is the same thing, of course. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. So, it's just describing that battle we have inside of us, that the sinful nature wants to do something, but the Holy Spirit, which is in us now and has made us alive to Christ, is saying, not that way, come this way. God, come God's way. Romans 8:5, and those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature, what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit, capital S, desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit, capital S, is life and peace. So it, who is controlling? Who is leading us? Who is leading you? Father, I pray, Lord, that as we just consider these things, and Lord, that you will just help each one of us, Lord, to be led by your Holy Spirit. Father, we really ask you, Lord, that it's by your Spirit that we want to live and do and move and have our being. It's by your Spirit, Lord, that we want to go into the workplace and not be super spiritual, Lord, but to take this body of mine into that workplace and for this body to react in godly ways and kind ways and smiling ways and pure ways that those who are living by a Spirit contrary to you will see a model and ask questions. Why are you so different? Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give us that opportunity just to be different. Teach us your ways and not the ways of the world. And help us, Lord, to swim in the opposite direction. It's easy to flow downwards. Only dead fish really swim downstream. Well, they don't swim, they just flow downstream. But Father, it's the live fish that go upstream. They flow against the tide. Help us, Lord, to be in that place where we do not do what the world does, but we do what you've called us to do. Help us, Lord, to be that person that is your legs and your hands and your feet here on earth. How beautiful are those feet that bring good news. Lord, just teach us your ways, please. We ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.